2005, I remember. And that is really the result of someone's willingness to just continue being here and sharing all that one is, to have all, give all, to all. And I think that says a lot about this morning. We're going to be speaking on a topic later called unconditional self-acceptance. And your willingness to give all is your willingness to accept all. And the all is our own self-acceptance. Okay, thank you all for being here. And it's that time. We are at Sunday morning awakening together, Sunday service. I'm very happy today to be the one ministering, as I guess it's every 3 weeks. And I kind of look forward to these events. Right now we're going to do what we traditionally do. We're going to meet and greet all that are now gathered here. And I want to also thank all that are listening here on our radio and all of our new members. I think at last count, Jay had said our last count is we have 308 members. We may be at 310, but we are a growing assembly. And I'm very thankful and grateful for all who have just joined and all who are members of Awakening Together. And we'll be talking a little about that shortly. Right now, I'm going to turn this mic over to our music director. And thank you so much, Barb DeWater, for being here to keep the announcement links going as our admin of the day. And to Lynn, who's going to be playing some music here as we share whatever we want to share this Sunday morning, wherever you are. You might share where you are, if you're in a happy mood, if you're in a joyful mood, if you're in a sad mood, if you're feeling lonely, if you're feeling that you are joined, wherever you are, it's always perfect, exactly as Jim Dunn was just pointing out. It's always perfect wherever you are. So please do share right here, right now. Turning this mic over to you, Lynn, for a little music. Thank you.
Imagine there's no heaven. It's easy if you try. No hell below us. Above us only sky. Imagine all the people for today. Imagine there's no countries. It isn't hard to do. Nothing to kill or die for. Someday you'll join us.
Thank you so much, Lynn Johnson, for that music. The world will live as one, which is another way of saying we will remember the truth, for we are one. Okay, I'm going to just say a short prayer, which is used by most people who at least are doing A Course in Miracles. I'm here only to be truly helpful, and that's the truth. I am here to represent Him who sent me. I do not have to worry about what to say or what to do, because He who sent me will direct me. I am content to be wherever He wishes, knowing He goes there with me. I will be healed as I let Him teach me to heal. Okay, again, welcome all, whether you are a member of Awakening Together or not, and please, if you're not a member, and if you happen to be here in this room, or you are listening on the radio, please take a look at, maybe joining, Awakening Together, and, Barb, if you would put up that link for those people who may be willing to say yes. You know, what's the purpose of Awakening Together? What are the core values? And that's pretty much what we do at this particular point, is we talk about the purpose. Purpose is that we are an assembly of equals, joined in common purpose. There's two key words, equal and purpose. Awakening to one true self within an appearance of many faiths, many cultures, many symbols, we seek to discern one truth and to rest in its embrace. Embrace, as Jim Dunn likes to point out, goes much further than acceptance. We are resting in the embrace of truth. We're here to remember the truth. And we have some core values, and I'm Barb, if you would put that link up for the purpose and values. Our core values, there are five of them. And I'm going to, even though I'm going to mention, I notice I mentioned number two a lot. We realize everyone is equal and no one has been given spiritual intuition or authority over the spiritual intuition of others. We live this value by listening to each other, respecting each other, and allowing each one to be where he or she is. I'm going to hop skip through a few of the other core values because they all, to me, say the same thing. We affirm one true self as the only truth. We accept one true self. That's number four. We accept one true self, which is the one presence of being, non-dual, without beginning or end, and absolutely changeless. That's number three. Number one, we trust everyone is led by unique inner guidance to one experience called awakening. And finally, number five, we accept all forms as temporary appearances permitted through enduring awareness of self. We live this value by honoring all appearances and all experiences while continually reflecting on changeless truth. We have a lot of words there that are common to all five. And we're going to talk about words and acceptance of words later in this program. I'll make a few quick announcements. First of all, whether you're aware, I think it's May, it's the second weekend of May, there is a workshop with Dietrich Walsack, who usually you have to go to Costa Rica to see Dietrich, or maybe up to Victoria, to Vancouver, Canada. But he's coming to the United States. He'll be in Colorado in the Rocky Mountains, pretty much where Regina and Lynn reside. And be at the Abbey, which is in Cannon City, Colorado, not too far from Colorado Springs, which is the nearest airport. And if you have any thoughts about going there, I was listening to Barb DeWater a couple of days ago. She said, you know, at first I was saying that I really can't afford to maybe do this workshop in Colorado. And then she said, but then I thought about it. And she says, I really need the work that comes out of working with Dietrich Walsack. Because if you have anything that you'd like to do any work on, any problems at all that seem to be coming up, that's exactly what Dietrich Walsack specializes in, and people come from all over the world to Costa Rica and to Vancouver to be in Dietrich's presence, and this is an opportunity to do it. Of course, many of our members will be there, Regina and Lynn. I think Jay is going to be there. But again, the opportunity is for you to select if you want to be there. And I think that you put up, did you put up the link for the event, Barb? If you put that link up so people might know more about it. Okay, the other thing I want to share is on your willingness to take your place here among the guest teachers here. Thank you so much, Barb. The Choose Again Retreat in Colorado in May. Your willingness to just say, yes, I will take my place among the teachers. And you might have thoughts like, well, what can I say? What can I teach? I don't really know enough. Those are all the excuses that defense mechanism that we all have within us, sometimes called the ego, will come up with. I'm not there yet. I gotta read more. I'm not finished with this. I can't do it until. Those are all the excuses. So today we take a look at, are you willing? And willing is the only word that's ever necessary. Are you willing to say, yes, I am here. Father, I am here. That's being sincere. I am sincerely here to accept my place as your son, your child, your daughter. Father, I am here to accept what I have come here for. To have all, give all, share all with all. And for those people who have been here year in and year out, I was talking about Jim Dunn here earlier. He started with us back in 2005. I guess that's almost 9 years ago. And for those people who were here last night, we were listening to Larry Sire. He had been in Austin, Texas for many years, and he and his wife finally moved to Hawaii. And what do you think he's doing in Hawaii? He's doing the same thing he was doing here since he started here about the same time, around 2005, 2006. He's sharing on, last night we all listened to Larry, who went on for almost an hour and a half, 2 hours, on, sharing on forgiveness when you don't really want to forgive. So, I think of all the people that started here many, many years ago, and their willingness to just be here, they became the teachers of other teachers. They just went on to rise to what it is that they actually came here for, to remember the truth and to share the truth with all. Okay, we're also at that time in our program for a reading. Reading is going to be led by my wife, Suzanne. And she's going to be reading from Chapter 4, Section 1, called Right Teaching and Right Learning. And she'll be reading from Paragraphs 1, 2, 4, and 7. If you want to read along. These are some of my favorite paragraphs. And one of the lines there is something that caught my eye the very first time I ever read A Course in Miracles, which is a real keeper. Okay, Suzanne.
Okay, yes. When I first looked at this, I said, oh my gosh, this is really what it's all about. I was so impressed. Right teaching and right learning. And really, we're all teachers and we're all learners at the same time. I'll begin on paragraph one. A good teacher clarifies his own ideas and strengthens them by teaching them. Teacher and pupil are alike in the learning process. They are in the same order of learning, and unless they share their lessons' convictions, conviction will be lacking. A good teacher must believe in the ideas he teaches, but he must meet another condition. He must believe in the students to whom he offers the ideas. Many stand guard over their ideas because they want to protect their thought systems as they are, and learning means change. Change is always fearful to the separated because they cannot conceive of it as a move towards healing the separation. They always perceive it as a move toward further separation because the separation was their first experience of change. You believe that if you allow no change to enter into your ego, you will find peace. This profound confusion is possible only if you maintain that the same thought system can stand on two foundations. Nothing can reach spirit from the ego, and nothing can reach the ego from spirit. That sentence was so meaningful to me. I want to repeat it. Nothing can reach spirit from the ego, and nothing can reach the ego from spirit. Spirit can neither strengthen the ego nor reduce the conflict within it. The ego is a contradiction. Yourself and God's self are in opposition. They are opposed in source, in direction, and in outcome. They are fundamentally irreconcilable. Because spirit cannot perceive and the ego cannot know. Again, spirit cannot perceive and the ego cannot know. They are therefore not in communication and can never be in communication. Nevertheless, the ego can learn, even though the maker can be misguided. He cannot, however, make the totally lifeless out of the life given. Teaching, now this is from paragraph 4. Okay, the teaching and learning are your greatest strengths now, because they enable you to change your mind and help others to change theirs. Refusing to change your mind will not prove that the separation has not occurred. The dreamer who doubts the reality of his dream while he is still dreaming is not really healing his split mind. I'll say that again. He is not healing his split mind. You dream of a separated ego and believe in a world that rests upon it. This is very real to you. It's real to all of us. You cannot undo it by not changing your mind about it. If you are willing to renounce the role of guardian of your thought system and open it to me, I will correct it very gently and lead you back to God. Your worth is not established by teaching or learning. Your worth is established by God. As long as you dispute this, everything you do will be fearful, particularly any situation that lends itself to the belief in superiority and inferiority. Teachers must be patient and repeat their lessons until they are learned. I am willing to do this because I have no right to set your learning limits for you. Again, nothing you do or think or wish or make is necessary to establish your worth. This point is not debatable because in delusions, your ego is never at stake because God did not create it. Your spirit is never at stake because He did. Any confusion on this point is delusional, and no form of devotion is possible as long as this delusion lasts.
Okay. Thank you so much, Suzanne. Okay. The two lines in here which really stick out for me. The first one is what I saw the very first time I ever went through this textbook. And what it says is that your worth is established by God. Your worth is established by God, not by your teaching and learning. It's already established. Before we ever came to this world of delusion and illusion, one that we made to forget the truth, our worth, you can either fully accept that what God created is as He is, so it's really about either I am accepting God's love or not. This is not, as long as you dispute this, everything that you do will be fearful. So, whenever we talk about fear-based thinking, we're always talking about that I'm in dispute, that I am as God created me. I am as God created me. Our topic today, which is called our unconditional self-acceptance, our unconditional self-acceptance. We all heard about unconditional love. But today we're talking about the same thing, but with a slightly different way of looking at it. It's our own full self-acceptance. And the only thing that keeps us from fully accepting ourself would be ourself. Nothing else could do that. It depends on which voice we are listening to. The one that says that you're not there yet, you know, I'm not quite there yet. Others are there, but I'm not there. That's the voice of fear, the fear-based thoughts that I can't do what others are doing. They may be far ahead of me. Of course, once you talk about time, you're talking about an illusion. So you're talking about the voice that believes believes in the illusion. So full self-acceptance has nothing to do with time and space. It really has to do with right here, right now. I always like to think of that section of the course. I think it's chapter 28, section 6. It's called the immediacy of salvation. The immediacy of salvation. And he spends a whole chapter talking about salvation doesn't take time. It's your willingness to accept right here, right now, in this particular moment. But the only way you can do that is to fully release and let go. Another word for that is forgiveness. The only reason we believe in time and space is, and as he says, time and space is the same illusion. The only reason that we believe in time and space is that we are unwilling to fully forgive. So as long as there's more forgiveness to go, well, I guess there's more time for me to try and learn how to fully forgive. You don't need time, you just need willingness to say, I do not know what anything is for. And the only one that we really have to forgive, you don't have to forgive all the people that you've ever met and all the people that you will meet. That's on the longitudinal or horizontal axis. The only one you really have to forgive is yourself, is ourself. This has been a wonderful week for me. As usual, as I approach the Sunday where I'm going to be sharing as I am this morning here at Awakening Together, all kinds of events and circumstances happen on the way here, and if you are open and listening, you will hear everyone speaking to you. Everyone is telling you exactly what it is that I would like to say and share here this morning. And this morning is, of course, no different than any other time. I'd like to start with, for instance, last Sunday night on Facebook, I got a private message from Susan Braverman up in Vancouver, and she says to me, "David, I have a question for you." She says, "Given this quote from lesson 135, paragraph 18, which says, what could you not accept? What could you not accept if you knew that everything that happens, all events, past, present, and to come, are gently planned by one whose only purpose is your good?" She says, why is it that once you read that, we cannot accept it? Acceptance is really a biggie here. It really is a biggie. Spirit accepts always, knowing all is perfect. But the ego is always very cautious and says, well, I just can't accept everything right now. I've got to analyze it. I have to explore it. I have to, you know, see if this is true for me. It may be true for others, but I don't know if it's true for me. And that will keep us believing in concept for a very long time. That will have us believe in concept for a very long time. Now, I'm going to be speaking a lot about my own process as we go along here. And my process may be and probably is a lot different than the process for many here. I must say that when I started the course, I was really ready for full acceptance of what the course was saying. I had done many other things along the way, and they all were helpful. So certainly, I talk about S and my first teacher, Werner Erhard, and that was very helpful in having me recognize the insidious thinking that my mind was capable of, that I always thought was my mind. And that was my voice until it became very clear that that voice was not my best friend. So once you get to that particular place, and there's many places in this course where you can get the exact same idea, including lesson number one, which I always say, you know, there is no accident that lesson number one is lesson number one. Nothing I see here means anything. And I want to thank our sister, Cosmic Star Sister. Some of you know Cosmic Star Sister on Facebook. She does a lot of posting on many groups, and including Open Minds. Her real name is Trish Audi, and she's from the Foundation for A Course in Miracles out in Seattle. This is what she wrote just about the same time, Sunday or Monday of last week. She says, this is Jesus speaking. This is Yeshua, which is channeled there by the Northwest Foundation for A Course in Miracles. It says, why do you think, this is Yeshua speaking, why do you think I started out with a lesson that says nothing that I see means anything? You really got to laugh. Why do you think I started out with a lesson that says nothing that I see means anything? If we're not to wipe out every single confidence that you have developed at the level of your ego awareness, where's the logic in that if you are coming from an ego level and looking for intelligent structures that can be easily grasped? If your ego can grasp it, you are stuck. You gotta love that line. Oh, I grok it. I grasp it. I got it. No, if your ego can grasp it, you are stuck. This is Yeshua speaking. How can you reach beyond your present sense of things if you are still valuing your present sense of things? That's why that lesson number 25 is such a beautiful lesson. It was my mantra lesson for many years. And that was after 27 years of doing the course. I do not know what anything is for. And he's actually telling us, he says, ask of all things of this world, what is it for? Because you do not know. You do not know. So it's our willingness to say, I do not know, which opens the mind to receive. For me to finally accept. There's a story about Lee Strasberg, who many know as the method acting coach, who had coached many of Hollywood's famous movie stars, Broadway actors and actresses. And there's a story that goes something like this. He lined up a group of young ladies who were auditioning to be chorus girls for a Broadway show. He says, I want each and every one of you to kind of just, you know, get up on stage and tell us about the man that you want to have in your life as your dream, as the man that you want to be with for the rest of your life. And each and every one of those chorus girls was really very clear. This is the man that I want to have in my life, that I want to attract to me in my life so that I can be with him. And they told these wonderful, glorious stories of exactly the kind of man that they wanted, you know, his characteristics, his virtues, his values, his this, his that. And then he says, now I want each and every one of you to tell me why that person would like to be with you, why that person wants to be with you. So that, of course, brings up what today's topic, our unconditional self-acceptance, is all about. Whenever we do any path, any course, whether you're doing A Course in Miracles or any path, what's really being called for is the word sincerity, to be sincere. You know, we can make up all kinds of words, all kinds of concepts, but what's really in our heart? What's really in our heart? Yes, we dream, we imagine, but what is it that we are truly about? And if you are asking God for something like, I want to remember the truth of what I am, I want the peace of God, which most people know that is the key to the kingdom. I really want the peace of God. And we go to Lesson 185 to see what's actually said there, especially in paragraph 6. And many people know those famous words. To say I want the peace of God is one thing, but to mean it is a completely different dimension. So to say I want the peace of God because you don't want to hurt anymore, you want to solve your problems, you know, that's one thing. But to actually truly be sincere is something else. In paragraph 6, this is what he says to us. The mind which means that all it wants is peace must join with other minds, for that's how peace is obtained. And when the wish for peace is genuine, the means for finding it is given. When the wish is genuine, the means for finding it is given in a form that each mind that seeks for it in honesty can understand. Whatever form the lesson takes is planned for him in such a way that he cannot mistake it. He cannot mistake it. If his asking is sincere, but if he asks without sincerity, there is no form in which the lesson will meet with acceptance and be truly learned. So it's really up to us. Do we really want what this path or this course or Awakening Together promises is ours? Or not. I know many people look at the word concepts and say, well, that's only a concept. You know, you can't live on concepts. You know, oh yeah, you get to be right that your concept is a higher concept than somebody else's concept. In my own life, what I have experienced is that once I got very sincere about doing this course, or it can be any course, it doesn't have to be A Course in Miracles. Once you say, this is it, you know, I'm not looking elsewhere, I am fully committed. And of course, as it says in the course, you cannot be fully committed sometimes. You can't just be committed while you're doing the lessons in the morning and the lessons in the evening. You know, you're fully committed all through the day. And you really begin to accept, what is being said in a way that they aren't just words anymore. They are not just words anymore. For instance, when he says, projection makes perception. The world you see is an outside picture of an inner condition. Rather than exploring it and trying it on, you know, well, you know, I don't know if that's true. You know, what do you mean that everything I see is going on also within me? And I think it was the last time I was here, I mentioned, you know, the idea that if you get caught up in form, and the ego only speaks about form, it will always seem like something's going on outside has nothing to do with you. Nothing. Nada. And, you know, to be willing to accept it is to wholly accept it and not to be fooled by form. Spirit is never, ever fooled by form, not deceived by form. We who still listen to the voice that's going on in our head will be deceived by form, and it's only because we still believe what our own minds are telling us. To be sincere is to go within your heart, and say, what is it that I truly want? Sincere, as Lynn Johnson pointed out, is to go within the heart, within truth. And within truth, I want to remember my eternal being, my eternal self. So when it says there is no death, you know, I don't say, well, excuse me, I seem to be seeing people dying here all the time. If that's the voice you're listening to, which is a fear-based thought system, that's the voice that you have chosen to listen to. I also came across, and I played it here, I think, the other day, or I think I spoke about it, but I'm gonna see if I can just speak it today. I came across an old recording of Ken Wapnick speaking the same thing, which I actually, it just came up perfectly this particular week. And let's see if I can find it. And this is Jesus speaking to us in first person, and he's really saying that you and I are alike. You and I are alike. Let's see if I can find it. Here it is. It's on page 145 of the FIP text edition. It says, this is Jesus speaking to you directly. If you want to be like me, I will help you, knowing that we are alike. If you want to be different, I will wait until you change your mind. You have to change your mind. Because if you think that, well, I have to keep studying this book, this course, I got to keep going until I finally realize, you know, somewhere way down the line, maybe next year, maybe in 10 years, 100 years, next lifetime, 10 lifetimes, that one day I will be just like the one who I truly would like to be like. Like, I really wish I knew what is in the mind of Jesus, because then everything would be okay. He's telling you right here and right now, we are alike right here and right now. It doesn't take time. It's the immediacy of salvation. But he says, but as long as you think, as long as you want to be different, I will wait until you change your mind. He says, I can teach you, but only you can choose to listen to my teaching. How else can it be if God's kingdom is freedom? Freedom cannot be learned by tyranny of any kind, and the perfect equality of all of God's sons cannot be recognized through the dominion of one mind over another. God's sons are equal in will, all being the will of their Father. This is the only lesson I come to teach. This is the only lesson I came to teach. This is the only lesson I came to teach. So he's telling you that you are as Jesus is now. That we all have what God has given to all. None have been left out. He says the only difference between you and I at this point is that is all I have. You're still carrying a lot of excess baggage from the past. Which is why I always think of lesson number 7, which comes up very early in this course. I see only the past. You know, of course we see only the past. How else could you know anything about anyone? If you look around this room, you see names, but you only know them from the past. So he's telling you, you know, not only do you not see, what you're seeing is coming from the past. You're not really seeing. To be able to see is to see now And when you see now you're unencumbered, you're untethered, from that word, the untethered soul, you're untethered, you're unencumbered, you're not carrying past problems into the present where they cloud the present and you can't even see that we are one, we are alike, we are equal. It's in that equality, it's seeing that equality that actually invites the atonement automatically. It invites atonement automatically. Because it's in seeing differences that atonement is impossible. So you can say, well, like Dove did, one of these days I'll learn what atonement is and then I'll just accept it. Well, acceptance is really about unconditional self-acceptance, that we are one, that we are one. So as I begin to be willing to accept the small things in life, such as I see only the past, nothing I see here means anything, I'm never upset for the reason I think. I do not know what anything is for, yet everything is for my healing. I'm under no laws but God's. I am sustained by the love of God. They all seem to be words and concepts. But when you fully embrace them, when you fully accept them, and you share them, notice in Right Teaching and Right Learning, which Suzanne read here earlier, it's in their sharing where you get the conviction. It's in their sharing that you get the conviction. And that's pretty much what we have here in this awakening together assembly, in this room that many of us come here on a daily basis, and it's an opportunity to share our convictions. And as I said here earlier, those people who have come here, yes, maybe they came here many years ago, but it's their willingness to stay here, to keep accepting that they're here to remember the truth and to share the truth with all of our brothers and sisters. Speaking of Lynn Johnson, I cannot think of anyone who brings more wisdom and laughter and song on key, song singing on key, and acceptance of all who come here. And it's like so appropriate that she is here as the one in charge of our room. But it's always an open invitation to all to begin to say, okay, I'm not only here to get something from what others are saying. Yes, I am respectful that they're my brothers and sisters are wonderful teachers, and I want to be here to support them. But I'm also here to remember that I am as my teacher is, if your teacher is Jesus or Werner Erhard or Buddha or Albert Einstein. Ah, speaking about Albert Einstein, just had me remember that when I was a kid, actually my teenage years back in the, say, the 50s, I mean, I was more of a guy into science than I was into spiritual things. I guess if you talked to me about spiritual things, I would be thinking about religion, and I was giving up religion as I began to see that religion doesn't join, it kind of separates and divides. But people like Albert Einstein, who I saw as really a figure that my imagination could actually say, wow, look at this. Here we are after 400 years of scientists all bowing down to the idol Sir Isaac Newton, having the apple drop on your head and saying, oh, these are all the laws that we learned from this. And everybody agreeing, there came a guy who said, maybe things are not the way they appear. Maybe things are not exactly the way they appear. And he comes up with this whole thing called the theory of relativity. And at the time, if you were back there, back around, you know, whenever it took place, I think around 1917, whatever, 1920, it didn't matter. all the scientists actually drew up a petition. It was called the Petition of 100 to actually censure and ban a guy named Albert Einstein, because who the heck is this guy to overthrow, you know, what we all believe to be true? It was years later that I heard something that Einstein said that actually really became an inspiration for me. And this is what Albert Einstein, who I recognized had gone far beyond what the field of science could teach. In fact, at the time that he came out with it, the most famous physicist of all time, Niels Bohr, at that time, said, you know, I follow this guy, Einstein, all the way up to here, but I don't see how he gets from here to his final conclusion. Of course, Einstein did say, I did not come to the understanding of the laws of the physical universe through my rational and logical mind, through his ego mind. So it wasn't through logic that he came to it. He was actually given it because he actually asked the same question over and over. What would it be like if I was riding on a beam of light through the universe? And he asked it over and over, and it was given to him. It was given to him. But that's how we meet him. It was a few years later that I got to hear him say, I would gladly give up all that I know for a few thoughts in the mind of God. I would gladly exchange all that I know for a few thoughts in the mind of God. All the rest is details. All the rest is details. Yeah, I want to... Yeah, I'm going to get all I know for a few thoughts in the mind of God. So Einstein, who, of course, is, you know, given this idea of maybe the most brilliant scientific mind of the 20th century, says, hey, I don't really know anything. He tells you that I don't really know anything. He says, I gladly give it all up just to know what God is thinking. All the rest is details. I just want to thank a few people along the way that contributed to this day. And I say, you know, once you realize that you're going to share something, the Holy Spirit is speaking to you and through you through so many people. Last night, when we were listening to Lisa, Natoli, and Bill here, it was Teddy Poppy, who's here in the room, who said a few things. The first thing he said, I'm going to post it up here so everyone can see. He said, the best advice to anyone who isn't hearing God's voice is to get honest, sincere. In another word for honest is sincere. And admit that they don't want to. They don't want to. At least then they have a shot at listening to it. Because as long as we are resisting, and that's the function of the ego. We don't blame the ego. We actually gave it the function of not accepting. To resist is to not accept. And then he went on to say, I just posted it over here, let me post it again. The more you listen and hear, this is Teddy Poppy speaking, the more you listen and hear, the more generalized and non-conceptual becomes the hearing. That's my experience, by the way. If you're really sincere about our shared purpose, and I know that we're all here sharing the same purpose, that's one of the ideas of awakening together. We share the five core values, we share the purpose. Once you know that your purpose is to develop trust and reliance in our one self, to remember the truth of our one self, all is given to you, but you are already open because you're not closed. You say, I do not know. I'm being honest. I do not know. And once you are sincere and honest, you begin to see that you can accept everything that is given to you, everything that is just given to you, and you will be able to discern, you'll be able to distinguish the difference between what is shared as truth, what is honest, what is sincere, and what is not. And we all, each, are asked to choose once again what it is that we can accept, because it's all given to us. It's not something that we don't have. We already have it. I will not value what is valueless. I already have everything that is valuable within me. Yes. So the unconditional self-acceptance begins with my willingness to say, I do not know, yet I do know that everything is given to me for my healing. And with that, I'm going to say thank you for being here joining with us. I'm going to be turning this mic over to you, I believe. First, Barb, if you would put up the link for if anyone would like to make a donation, contribute to Awakening Together at this particular Sunday morning service. So I'm going to ask Barb to put up the link for that. If you have any questions at this point, you can post them on the board, and Barb will answer them, or Lynn. Lynn, maybe you'll play a little music, and then we're going to come back for the last, say, 12 minutes or so of anyone who wants to share, anyone who's been inspired, anyone who has any questions. Maybe you had some questions, you posted here on the board, and I wasn't watching the board, so please, you can post them again, and we have a full hour after that, of course, of fellowship and social hour. So right now, turning this mic over to you, Lynn. Thank you.
Light of love, we are are whole in the light of love. We are whole in the light of love. We heal and sing. Thy will be done in the light of love. In the light of love.
Okay, hello everyone, and thank you, Dove. I'm going through this opening of mind and incredible peace that has been given, I've never felt before. And it has to do with letting go. I was listening last night to Lisa and Bill, and I was watching the board. Hi, Roy! and I was watching the board, and there was a mother that was on there talking about her children. And I wanted so much to raise my hand, but that was not my guidance. My guidance was not to raise my hand, because sometimes, somewhere, this mother will learn that holding on to anything in this world is going to keep us back from spirit. So with that, I dropped a case that's been running in my mind for 20 years with my ex-husband. And it's a story that the ego got a lot of pleasure from, and I realized that the control that I thought he had over me, I had over him. So we were pretty much playing in the sandbox, throwing sand at each other's eyes. That's truly what we were doing. We were not, you know, it doesn't really matter what my brother sees. Until I see everything as the Christ, I'm not here. So I'm married now to this magnificent soul who was saying to me that I needed to give up $90,000. Okay? Hello there, Robbie. And he said, we don't need the money. We need the peace. And I was holding on to it with the story that it was going to save my son, who has some issues. And I have two sons, actually. There's not an ego around that doesn't have an issue, and I don't know what path is going to bring them to God. So with that, after letting it go, my mind was peaceful, but it was still had a lot of residue, and the ego had a lot of doubt that I, not that I did the right thing, just that I was still concerned about the death of one of my children. That was something that, you know, was made up in my mind from the time I was a little girl. But, you know, and this is the thing. I know so much, and I was so unwilling to let go. And, you know, Ken Wapnick has always said, who are you not forgiving? Now, I mean, forgiveness is really about you. So my beautiful husband said, he spoke to my ex-husband, and he said, look, you know, because my ex-husband wanted to sue us. You know, whatever. He just still wants to play in the sandbox. And my husband said my husband's Cliff said to Ronnie, we want to just let this go. And you know, we have these mighty companions along the way, and they don't even know that what they're doing is saving another brother. It's like my husband now doesn't even know, you know, what he did, because the freedom of having support from a brother, and then going on that night and having Lynn allow me to just, you know, be who I am and greet me with so much love, I shared about, you know, my anxiety about losing, you know, a son that continues to be helped into addiction. And I went on and on and on, and I came up, and I was guided to call Dove. Now, under the circumstances, Dove is physically has had issues to deal with that are greater, maybe in the worldly circumstances, than mine, okay? But with his love and unconditional support, he called me. And he said, Sharon, this script is written. And I heard that. And then whatever else he said went right down in my heart. And through the brothers that I allowed spirit to lift me up. And everything in my sight is different. It's different. Now, I mean, I talked to Barb yesterday on the computer, and I said, look, I need all the help I can get. And that was really the truth, you know? I mean, that's why this course is when ideas are shared, they grow stronger. You know, there's nothing wrong with saying you need more help. I mean, what difference does it make? You know, it's just amazing to me the opening that I have. And Regina, for years I've been listening to Regina. Liz Cronkite, I mean, she's a magnificent support system. I have brothers everywhere in my story that are just projections in my mind, because it can only be spirit and the ego. And if I hear like a teaching, I listen and it resonates, it's within me. You know, sometimes I might read a book and it's incongruent with some things the spirit's telling me, but I'm actually gaining more and more pleasure and joy out of releasing what the world would think I was crazy. The man took in the story $1.5 million and left me broke. That was $3 million 20 years ago. And the ego was still holding on. Holding on. You know, it's interesting because, you know, what price is it? Now, I'm not saying that you should not go to a lawsuit. I'm not saying that you should not get your rights in this world. You live here. But ask yourself if it's taking your peace. Because if it's taking your peace and you're not in a higher place and you're seeing it as a crucifixion, you're doing this to yourself. So with that, I just have to say that, you know, I can't imagine, except that I know that I created all of this in some way or another to get here. And I have the full confidence that I am going to be in peace with my life. And when things come up, I'm going to know that they're all for my better good. As my beloved brother, Lenny, would say. And he would insist and argue whenever I would say that there was an ego. And today I have to thank him. Sometimes I wanted to just go through the computer and just strangle him. And sometimes I didn't even want to believe him. He had a way of always like he was ashamed. He called me and said, Shannon, I'm sorry I kept on you. And I would just laugh because I knew he couldn't pick on me because it's my mind, you know? And so, just thank you. Thank you for this time. Thank you for this willingness. And I have, it's a process. I have no idea where I am in the process. Not even a little clue. Except that there's this opening that I have never felt before. And the crucifixion is turning into the resurrection, and it's, not by reading. I've never been a great reader. I have like a Kindle that I listen audio and read, but it's not really about knowing every word in the Course in Miracles. It's very obvious that we are not victims. It's very obvious that we create or made up a story. It doesn't matter if it's the I or if it's the you of the whole mind. It doesn't matter if you're separate or not. All these questions doesn't... Because so much of this is a mystery. That's the joy of what we wanted. So, you know, with that, I'm going to drop the mic and say, you know, to all of you, I love you. And I've been very blessed to meet this man who I was guided to that I'm married to because he's very quiet. He was quiet. And I needed that. I mean, you know, everybody that knows me knows I love to talk. And so it's kind of interesting for me to be with this very quiet man who also is working through a process and has egoic thoughts. Like, he would say maybe that we were all nuts sometimes because his ego saying it, but at the same time, the there's not much that anyone has to do except really let go. Yeah, chatterbox and silence. I mean, it's been true. I mean, I can't even tell you that I am a chatterbox, but sometimes, you know, when I'm with my husband, I just listen to a tape or I just listen to the Holy Spirit, or I don't talk. Because when we eat, he doesn't talk. When we drive in the car, he doesn't really like to talk. You know, and it's kind of interesting because, you know, like, he would say to me when he met me, well, how do I know, like, that you won't, like, leave, you know, because you're on his path, you know, and he's a 12-stepper. And it was kind of funny because, you know, that is the ego's, like, greatest thing. It's going to lose. It's going to lose. It's going to lose. I don't feel that I'm a body right now. I mean, I feel mind, and I've never felt mind before. And, you know, I remember Liz and Regina telling me this would happen actually naturally. So we'll see where this takes me, but that doesn't mean, Monica, another one. Oh my God, how can I not thank Monica? Monica. Oh, I called Monica. And with her wisdom, she helped me. It's incredible. I mean, just to allow everything to be as it is. You know, it's very, very challenging to an egoic mother to let go. We think that we should lead our children to God. Well, my mother did lead me to God because she was so angry at me all the time. And she was one of my, you know, characters in my story. My mother, my ex-husband. I mean, whenever you're really fearful of somebody, you better realize that you're holding a lot of guilt there. And my son, who has this, you know, these issues. It's like when you're afraid, or my lawyer. I remember being very frightened of her. And it's because that's where my guilt is, because I'm not allowing it all to be, and just trust that it's being taken care of. So, with that, I'm going to drop the mic, because I'm a chatterbox, and I am. But, you know, I am everything in my mind, you see, and I know that now. And yes, indeed, we need to thank Lynn. My God, I mean, forever and ever, she greeted me with such love the other night, and I was like in a tailspin, and then she went on to talk about her son, and she's always there. She's always there. I mean, it's like, I wonder, does she sleep? Just like Dub, did I always think, does he sleep? Well, anyway, that's all. See you later, guys. Thank you.
Yeah, I will keep this very, very brief because I realize that we're out of time, but I just wanted to say, Dub, I thought that was a fantastic sharing. I think that, you know, you said many things in that sharing that were just key to awakening, but most important that really it's our responsibility to be fully committed. No one can do that for us. Grace will not do that for us. We have to be the one that chooses that full commitment. And I just want to thank you for making that so very, very clear. And if anyone, you know, feels like their mind wandered and they didn't hear all of the talk, I strongly recommend listening again once it's posted. I'll try to get it posted later tonight. That's it. I'm done. Thank you.